B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Dynamic duo.
Don't feed me crap.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
Yeah, get it right, stupid.
Felger and Mass. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Downs, high hopper, Story to first. Double play, game over. Red Sox win at 11-6 for the second night in a row. Jeter Downs contributes defensively against the Yankees. But it was all offense tonight. 11 runs, 11 hits, a bunch of home runs. Boston wins it.
And that's how it ended last night. Two pretty impressive wins for the Red Sox, Mass, you have to admit.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You won't hear me say otherwise. I agree. I thought last night it was over. They got behind early. Stanton hit the home run. I said, forget it. They're done tonight. And they came back. And that Yankee team is a hard team to come back against. You know, that's why the game on, the first game of the series when the Red Sox threatened to come back and win, the Yankees nailed that sucker down, man. Their bullpen dominated the end of that game. They nailed that thing down. They went, you better not let them have a lead after like five innings because you're done. And basically the last two games, the Red Sox overcame deficits to win. So I give them a lot of credit. And let's remember, too, the Red Sox, Mike, have not come back a lot this year.
And the Yankees had not lost a single lead like that until Saturday night. Was the first, I can't remember, with a lead into the eighth inning or, you know, one of those crazy stats.
Yeah, right. It was like 52-0 or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
They had one of those runs where no one had touched them in the late innings or come back against them in the late innings, and you did.
Yeah, and again, then you did it again on Sunday. So I think that says something, okay? I don't think, in the case of the Yankees, it might have been a one-off because I think their bullpen is really, really good. But for the Red Sox to do it two nights in a row against a good team, I don't think is fluky.
For the Red Sox to go toe-to-toe with the Yankees is not fluky. You gave it to me before. The last 2 years, they're 13-13.
Yeah, right.
And if you include the playoff game, 14-13.
Correct.
You said the run differential was like four.
This year is four runs in seven games.
Yankees are plus four.
Yeah, 42-38.
That's it. So even though you're quote-unquote down this year, and the Yankees are having a terrific year, like an all-time year. When you get together, it's back and forth. It's 50-50. And if the Yankees are the class of the league, and they are, and you play them even, why wouldn't you invest in this team and give them a little bit extra for when it circles back around and you face them again at the end of the year?
Particularly when you factor in how undermanned the Red Sox were for this series.
Absolutely.
Right, again, Sale hasn't come back yet. No Eovaldi, no Whitlock, no Waka. You're sending Connor Seabold out in the mound. You know, Josh Winkowski. You're throwing guys out. Ben Pivetta got his face ripped off last night. So it's not like you got good starting pitching in the series and you went 2-2.
They should, but they won't. So watching, those were good wins these last couple of nights, and the fact that they split this series was kind of a minor miracle considering how those first couple of games went. But having watched it, I came out of that saying, which one of these two teams is actually going to be really proactive at the trade deadline? I think it's the Yankees, because the Yankees, I think, probably learned more from this series, saying anything can happen in the postseason. We saw this with last year. I thought the Yankees were the better team. They lose the one game against the Red Sox. You can never have enough pitching. They'll be more proactive at the trade deadline than the Red Sox will. You watch.
Oh, they have a lot at stake, the Yankees do.
With this season, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say overall, Murray, right? I mean, they've won one championship now in 20 years. Like, for them, that's a drought. Okay, that's a drought. So, and you know, it's Judge's free agent year. Like, there's a lot at stake there in New York, especially when you have the kind of year they're having on top of it. They got into the playoffs last year. Everyone thought they were going to be good last year. Bottomed out on them. They lost in the wild card game. And then, you know, then they get this year. They get off to a great start. What are they going to do? Fall on their faces again? So I think there's a lot of heat on them. But in the same breath, I think the Red Sox ceiling is high. If they get if they get healthy and they make an addition at the deadline or two, I think they're right there.
And especially because they play well against that Yankee team. They don't care about that Yankee team. I mentioned this a couple times. Maybe there's some weird thing at Fenway with all those Yankee fans that seem to be coming in, or I just feel like there's more noise with the Yankees in Fenway in the last couple of years that motivates them and motivates the Red Sox crowd too, frankly. You get those good old Yankee, you know, that atmosphere at Fenway. Either way, you match up well with that team, or you play well against that team. And if that's the team, then why wouldn't... So I thought those last two wins were kind of big, or should be.
They were gut check wins.
And so, we discussed this earlier, and we'll play the sound coming up, but when Gasper and Shaughnessy tell me last night on TV, and I don't think the Red Sox are really going to do anything, that they're really more interested in the illusion of contention. They're really more interested in putting up a facade of being a contender than actually being a contender. You say you agree with that?
That from ownership's perspective.
Yes.
Yes.
And from Bloom's perspective,
yes,
for that matter.
Yeah, I include them together.
Yeah, they're in cahoots.
Right, because Bloom is representing ownership effectively, or what their objectives are.
What's really going on, the objective is to get to all the system players, the drafted, developed, system-controlled, team-controlled, salary-wise system players. And they got another couple years before that wave really hits. And so they're just bridging it from here to there. And in the meantime, they're not going to, they're not going to make any big risks, any big bets, any big money plays. And they are content just to have the illusion of contention until they get to that point. You think that that's what they're doing?
Yep. I do. And I'm not telling you I like it. I don't like it. In fact, I think this team this year deserves more. So, and I say that for a lot of reasons. One is that you get some veteran guys who are going to be up at the end of the year, so you're going to have a lot of free agent holes to fill. I don't know how good you're going to be next year. I mean, you got a lot of gaps potentially. Okay, so start there. And then on top of it, I think that you have enough in your minor league system now to make a deal and help this team and make a run without sacrificing too much, because you've built your system to a sufficient point now. I'm not telling you have the best operation, minor league operation in the game. Maybe you probably don't. I know you don't. But you have a good enough one for the market you're in. You're a top 10 minor league system now. And you have good veteran talent, and you got superstars in the middle of your lineup.
But not just that. We discussed this earlier. It feels like you might have a pretty good amount of pumpable and dumpable players.
Yes.
These young kids. I asked you before, all these young kids that we're seeing on all sides of the ball, whether it be Winkowski or Seabold or Cutter Crawford, or whether it's Jeter Downs or Jaron Duran or Franchi Cordero, name it. Okay? There's I just named six guys. Do you think any of them are great?
No.
Have a chance to be really good?
No. I told you that if you're asking me, can a good number of these guys play in the big leagues? Sure. Yes. On what kinds of teams, though, and in what market? So I remember years ago, the Red Sox had an outfielder whose name was Brandon Moss. He went and played in Oakland. Okay, he was coming up through the system, and he put up some good numbers. And I remember thinking, what is this guy? What's he going to be? And I had a conversation with someone in the organization about it without trading away any secrets. And I said, this guy, what about him? I said, yeah, he'll play in the big leagues, but just not for us. He'll be better in another market. They end up trading him to Oakland, as I said. But, he's not the kind of guy that can start for us, given our resources. We need to get better than that, and we're going to get better than that. So he's going to be blocked here. I don't know if they think that way anymore. So I look at Jaron Duran, and I say, he's okay. He's not horrible, and he has his moments. Against the Yankees, he went 0 for 12 with 7 strikeouts. Every time he runs back for a fly ball, I feel like he's chasing a butterfly. I'm not kidding. It scares me. He just never feels steady to me out there, ever. And then the pitchers, Crawford has an elite cutter. His cut fastball is really, really good. But I don't know how consistent it is. And other than that, I would say I don't think there's a singular tool in any one of those guys, and I include Dahlbeck, and I include Cordero, and,
how about the kid tonight, Bayo? What did you see last week?
So I was a little disappointed, but it's still early on him.
So I left him out. But so take out Bayo and just go with the rest. It feels like they've come up, they've produced. You might get someone to bite on him, and so you have some tradable assets that really aren't going to hurt you long-term, because really at the end of the day, what are they? So you come out of this series where the Red Sox really dug deep and showed some balls and pulled out two big wins and showed that when they go against the Yankees, they are equal to them. They can go toe-to-toe with them, even depleted as they were this weekend. And so what, are you going to invest in that or not? That doesn't give you any confidence, you know, and you're dubious. And I talked to these guys last night, and they're dubious. They still don't think they're really going to do anything, which would really be disappointed. And not to get someone in trouble for something they haven't done yet, but boy, that would suck if that's what the Red Sox are looking to do.
I just think it's a horrible message.
Let's pick this up on the other side with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felder and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where we're headed overall with this team, and I know, Dan, you've talked about this, I think we're heading to a place where it's a lot of internal replacements, and they rely on the stars of the team to really be the manager and the general manager and the system. They feel like they're going to figure it out internally. They'll find a fix for first base. They'll keep running Rob Refsnyder out there. He's been red hot of late. They're going to keep doing this sort of roster roulette. I don't anticipate them making a ton of huge additions here because I think this is what ultimately what they want to do. They want to sort of have this facade of being a legitimate competitor and make the playoffs, and that's enough. While they don't really expend resources and they can clear payroll in the offseason and get to some of the young prospects and do what they really want to do.
The illusion of contention, we call this. Today's All-Star team was announced. Benintendi's on there. Betts is on there. Schwarber's on there. Three guys you wouldn't pay are All-Stars. The guys that are your All-Stars, you're not going to pay, and you're going to lose both of them. That's what you got now.
Two good wins. You guys are very negative.
Reality.
Casper says they just want to create a facade of being competitive. Chauncey calls it the illusion of competition, the illusion of contention. You agree or disagree with that, Big Jim Murray?
Oh, I agree with it. And I just base that on how they handled last year at the trading deadline. Like, I just think that they made some cosmetic moves. Oh, look, we added to the bullpen with bums like Hansel Robles, who worked for a couple of months and has since been DFA'd this year. And the Schwarber thing worked out, but he wasn't a real first baseman when everyone, especially Maz, was saying, go get Anthony Rizzo, get a real first baseman. They were contending last year. And then, you know, I think the players certainly were pissed off about it. I remember they kind of went sideways there after the trade deadline, like 1-5, 1-6. I think you're going to look at the same thing this year, too. And if nothing else, they're really just going to sell it as, well, we got Chris Sale back. And Evaldi's off the injured list now. And those are our real additions, which will be so annoying. Because ultimately, because of who they are and the money spent, you're the Red Sox. Go get real players. You need a real first baseman. You could use someone else in the outfield. Go get another arm. But I don't think that they will.
The first base thing is unconscionable.
You're going on 2 years of it.
It's inexcusable. It really is. It's inexcusable. So if you want to tell me that, well, we're not going to go out, you know, and I'm pretending I'm the organization. Well, we're not going to go out and sign a big-time player because we get Tristan Casas coming. Fine. No problem. I get it. It's now been 2 years, and you don't have a representative major league first baseman. Forget about the superstar. Can you sign me someone who can play the freaking position? Could you do that? Or bring back Kyle Schwarber who can at least hit? Their first base situation is a joke. It's a joke. They're patching it together with freaking duct tape. It's a joke.
One of the other reasons you can also probably forget about them going after this, is it Bell? Josh Bell in Washington at first base? I've had a few people send me this email. Apparently he has like a horrible defensive war. So they're going to look at that and be like, oh, no, we can't have that.
Well, so his defense has improved. He's not good, but he can hit. I'll take it. Can you give me a guy who can hit?
Do something.
Right, because, again, right now you're not getting offense or defense from the position. Not regularly. So how about a first baseman and a reliever? Is that asking too much? Am I asking too much?
To your thoughts, Derek and Wilburn. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan. I'm the guy in the yellow shirt who caught Donaldson Grand Slam, aka the booze bag in center field.
Yeah, it was a good grab, Derek.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just wanted to ask you guys, what do you think's the biggest hole the Red Sox need to fill? Their bullpen or their first base situation?
Okay. We just discussed. I think it might be first base. I don't know. Whitlock and the Schreiber kid? Schreiber?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of it in those terms. And you add Houck in there, and he might be all right.
Houck, I mean, I don't know. Those are decent arms back there. I don't know. You know, and Houck might be like that closer mentality. I think you're closer there than you are first base.
Well, so no, you're probably right about that when you put it in those terms. And that's another one. Why did you put Whitlock in the rotation at all? Because it was a long-term play. We're developing the pitcher. Now we're doing on-the-job training in the big leagues, the Red Sox. So, like, it's just the whole thing reeks of we're giving the season away, we're playing for the future.
Dan in Boston on the B's. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, guys. Bruce Cassidy has a .672 winning percentage, and you have Don Sweeney with a .547 or .542 winning percentage. The Jacobs family just summed it up in a nutshell. Cam Neely has Don Sweeney in his back pocket. He's not going anywhere. They said we got three cups. That involves Cam Neely, because Chiarelli was the GM at the time. And then you have Don Sweeney, who goes ahead and drafts somebody in the first round who's projected to be a third or a fourth line center to give you some, you know, toughness or grit on the back end. I absentee ownership at its finest. They said it all right there.
It's disappointing. And they did mention that, you know, we've been to three finals in 11 years under Cam Neely, which is interesting. I think Cam's got him where he wants him. I think they believe in Cam Neely. Should they? Should they believe in Cam Neely?
Meh.
Three finals in 11 years?
No. No, my answer is no. Because, again, I would say that, you know, Neely inherited a roster that had some pretty good players on it in retrospect when you really examine it. And so he blew Chiarelli out the door. Fine. Julian goes out the door. I would say during that run, have the Bruins prepared for tomorrow.
It's horribly.
So that would be my issue. That's my number one issue.
I mean, but this does go back to if they just drafted well in 2015, they would have prepared for the future. I mean, you know what I mean? If they came out of the thing with Shabbat and Barzal and even DeBrusque, like if that was it, like they would have had a top pairing defenseman, a first line center, and, you know.
Okay, so that's fair, but that was one draft.
Correct.
Okay, the problem has compounded over the years.
So, but listen, like, they did draft Trent Frederick and John Beecher at center. They were ridiculously bad draft picks.
Correct.
The more you think of it. So, to say, like, they didn't execute it, but they did try and draft centers. So, I don't know exactly what you're asking.
No, I'm just saying that, but they drafted poorly.
Yes,
so, at the end of the day, and they made some decisions along the way. How many first-round picks have they traded in the last 5 years?
Three of the last five.
Okay, so they've traded away first-round picks. They've missed on other ones. Meanwhile, their core keeps getting older and older. As they've tried to extend this window, have they ever effectively prepared for tomorrow?
Doesn't feel that way. No
way. That's my complaint.
And it should be. Riley in the car. Go ahead, Riley.
Hey, Felger, I'm reminded of something that you said after Maz's first couple appearances on Nesson, and that they weren't ready to go full Maz. And I think there was an element of that on the ESPN broadcast last night. So I'm tuning in and out of the game, and I tune in to see Maz, but I end up getting three innings of Roger Clemens, who is a complete drip and has the personality of my left shoe. And so here comes Maz, and they give him a half an inning. What's up with that? I mean, we need more Maz. We need more Maz.
I will say, I will take this opportunity, Riley, to ask Anthony this.
Yeah.
When are we going to get Maz on these baseball games?
Well,
I don't mean Tony Maserati, BBWAA member and Red Sox reporter. Yeah. I know we've been getting Tony Maserati. When do we get Maz?
I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. It just kind of evolves. I can't, you know, I can't force it. So here's what I'll tell you. You got a little bit of him on the West Coast trip, but that was late at night. You guys weren't paying attention.
I did miss it. Did we get a little bit more of the full Maz?
I got on Bloom a little bit on the one of those broadcasts.
Yeah. Well, but you know how we determine it. It's the sucks and blows clause.
Oh, the sucks and blows clause.
When am I going to hear that someone sucks and blows?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that comes from comfort.
Sorry, I thought there was a piece of audio.
No.
That'll come with comfort, right? So you haven't been able to get in too much of a groove. When's the last game you worked?
So this is the other thing is that, like, you know, I'm on a limited schedule, so I'm in and out of there, and it's not their fault. It's mine. I mean, you know, I have a full-time job. So I've only been in there for like, I haven't done a game in a month.
We'll give you a couple days off if we can get to the full Maz.
Well, the All-Star break's coming up, so I'm getting to the, you won't get me again until the 22nd.
Here's Brian in Pittsburgh on the Bruins. Go ahead, Brian.
But I'm getting saltier.
Go ahead, Brian.
Mike, I mean, it's great to bring up 2015 Vesweeney. Let's bring up 17. He drafted Juro Vakanainen in the first round. He passed on Josh Norris, 30 goal scorer with Ottawa. Robert Thomas, 80 point player with St. Louis. Philip Chytil, who is coming out of the Rangers, and your superstar darling of the first round playoffs, Jake Oettinger with Dallas. This guy is terrible, but don't forget. So what the Rangers did this year, they just let those kids play, Lafreniere, Chytil, and Kaku. They let them play on the third and fourth line and just let them develop. The Bruins will never do that with Steen, Stanika, and the other new kid coming up. They won't do it because they think they got to have a damn grinder line with useless players like Nosek. Now I'm pissed. I love you guys.
I understand. All right, man, love you too.
Oh, I think they're headed there, though. I think that's the whole idea behind this move, don't you? To let Stadnika play on the third line with Steen and whoever else. And that Montgomery is going to be more patient with them and develop them better than Cassidy would have. So my question then becomes, are Neely and Sweeney going to be patient with it if they start losing games?
Are the owners?
Right.
Are the if you start missing the playoffs because you're playing kids, how long is that going to last in your annual financial reports up to Buffalo? That's the issue. So when the Jacobs said today they don't think fans would have the appetite or the patience for a rebuild, I'll say it again. I think they're passing the buck. It's there. They're the ones that don't want to have seats unsold and concessions unsold. They're the ones that are not willing to do that. I think the fans are more willing than they are. But at the end of the day, I will say that once we get into it, if we really get into a rebuild, you won't be very patient for it. And you won't stick with the team. And you'll just wait for them to get good again, however long that takes, and then you'll come back, which is your prerogative as a fan, but now we're back to the Jacobs. They don't want to have that lull. They don't want to have the lull in business. That last caller, just the way he said Vakanainen and Kaku?
Yeah, no, that
I was like, Kevin, put your finger on the button. It was almost vulgar the way he said those names. Loved it.
No, that I think we should hold that Vakanainen drop forever.
Here's Jerry in East Somerville. Go ahead, Jerry, on the Bees.
You know, guys, you're hitting the spot. The ownership's got to wake up. They're playing these older guys. They're going to get hurt. No more hot dogs and beers. And I think we got one of the worst owners in hockey. And I want to listen to your comments because you're usually right on.
Okay, babe. I mean, I'm sure there's worse. There have been worse. I'm not sure Jacobs is the worst. And I do think, you know, in fairness, they've spent now on the team for a while. They really have. There was a time when they were freaking cheap, man. Oh, my God. The Neely years and the Bork years were a disgrace what they would not spend on the team. Okay? That part of it's over. The old man said, if I get a cap, I'll spend to the cap, and he pretty much has. And, in fact, they've run into trouble by overspending. Chiarelli overspent. And right now, you've overspent. You really can't do much because you've spent too much into next year. So, like, that thing's off the board. It's really now more about just their engagement level. And are they paying attention? Do they know? Do they really care about the sport? Do they really care about the actual game? Or is it just the financials that are sent up to Buffalo every quarter? And I still think it's that second thing. And I think that hurts you. Because I don't think they really know. I don't think they really know how poorly Don Sweeney is drafted. They make the playoffs every year. That's all they care about. So they don't really look at the system. They don't look at the drafts. They don't look at that. They don't look at that thing because that doesn't come across the fun. What comes across are ticket sales and concession sales. And those things are still where they want them to be. So they don't look at the freaking depth chart. We come back with more of your thoughts right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Verdugo to right field. Alex Verdugo ties it in the eighth and wins it in the tenth to snap Boston's four-game losing streak and get a much-needed victory against the division rival Yankees.
That was Saturday night. That was a good win. Good couple wins. So is the organization going to invest in the team? Are they worth investing in? Your thoughts, Matt, in Atlanta. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, this question is for Mazz. I was thinking someone earlier mentioned David Robertson. I think Houck, Whitlock, Robertson, and the Shriver kid and the two lefties would make an excellent bullpen. But I tell you, you need to get another bat because I don't trust Martinez and Story. Story, I think, is a real illusion. Have you seen that guy try to hit a fastball? And really, who in that lineup, outside of Devers and Bogarts, really scares you? You need a bat to lengthen that lineup. That'll make Martinez and Story better.
Okay.
Thanks.
Who are the two lefties? Strom and who's the...
I mean, you got more than that, really. You got Strom, you got Diekman, you got Austin Davis, and you, in theory, you'll get Josh Taylor back. So you'll be able to pick from that group. You know, Strom's been pretty good. I mean, pretty reliable. Taylor was pretty good last year. You pick your spots there. But, you know, the point you were making earlier, stick Whitlock out there with Houck and get another arm and then Schreiber. You're pretty good.
That's more than a lot of teams have.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
You don't have the bona fide guy who's got history and track record closing games, although Whitlock did do it.
Right. So I was going to say Whitlock maybe would be that guy.
I mean, it's not as bad as I think we've been portraying it or as it looked at various points.
Mike, taking Whitlock out of there early in the year was a big mistake.
Stupid.
Big mistake.
Eddie in Pittsfield, go. I said, Eddie in Pittsfield, go ahead. Okay, maybe you just put us on hold. Tom and Quincy, you're up. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I heard you guys talking about the split of the series, which I thought was pretty big, you know. And I'm not going to piss all over the Sox. And a couple things that kind of nitpick, although. Is anyone concerned with Pivetta's last two stops? He's got his teeth kicked in hard by the AL East with the Rays and the Yankees. 16 hits, 13 earned in 9 innings.
Yes, you should be concerned. Absolutely.
But can we talk about Dahlbeck's at bat against Chapman last night?
Yeah, we can do that.
Honestly, the guy couldn't find the friggin' plate if you paid him. And he took two of the worst swings that I have ever seen a professional baseball player take in my life. And he took them back to back. Can someone please tell me why in the world he is on this roster?
Because they have nothing else. They have nothing else. But that was a putrid at-bat.
Oh, my God, awful. And again, under the circumstances, you got a guy who I like to say can't find the plate with a fork and a knife, let alone anything else. So he's all over the place. You're rallying to, like, blow the game open. You're about to take complete control of the game. And you swing at two pitches out of the strike zone that aren't even close. Like, those are, they almost look like you decide your swing before releases the ball.
Yeah. It's definitely what those was.
Right. You're gonna swing before it, you know, before he even lets the pitch go.
Chapman was puking on himself, too. All you had to do was just kind of wait it out and let him give it to you. But I've seen a handful of those moments with Dahlbeck in those type of situations before. Bases loaded, kind of high leverage situation, and he just hacks away.
I mean, it just really, again, there's just no sense of the at-bat. His situational hitting is just poor.
Alan's in Florida. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Yes, Alan, you're up.
Oh, okay. Other than first base, I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, because they won two games. I mean, you know, they were 15 games behind. The Yankees going to lose sometime. Number one. Number two, when you have these great pitchers coming back, Walker, who's going to end up getting cream, Pivetta, who they're all way over their head. And then you got, as O'Brien says, we really miss Rich Hill. I thought I was going to get sick when he said that. Now, what do you think the Yankees are going to do? This pitch is around. You got a possible number one. I have the best trade in the world. If they go out and they get Castillo and Joey Votto to finish just for the end of the rest of the year, that would do something. The Yankees are going to go after a guy like Bieber from Cleveland. You know, they're going to strengthen themselves. They know they need another starting pitcher. They're not stupid. So this team, because I know Mads thinks it. I really hope. I've never rooted against the Red Sox in too many years that I can remember. I am so rooting against that obnoxious, disgusting, sorry excuse of a human being in Chris Sale. I hope he gets croaked.
Okay, next tonight should be interesting. Bayo with second crack at it tonight, and then Sale, Mr. Happy there on Tuesday night in Tampa. Either way, especially after the last two games, I'm going to be a real disservice if Chaim Bloom and the ownership doesn't invest in this team.
That's how I feel.
Seriously.
It's just, you know, you've got too much. You get $240 million invested into the roster. You have some talent on the team. You have Sale coming back. Like, there, if you put it all together, your ceiling is high. So go out and make the bullpen deal. And go out and get yourself a first baseman. It shouldn't cost that much, and you should have the depth in your system now to withstand it. Like, I just, you know, otherwise, what are we doing? If you're gonna, if you're looking to just contend, then chop another $60 million off the payroll and let's do it right.
Brittany in Boston, go ahead, Brittany.
So, talking about the broadcast this weekend, the national coverage of the Red Sox was deplorable on both Fox and ESPN. Maz, I didn't catch you on ESPN because I can't hang with A-Rod, but the way that they laughed about and justified Chris Sale's violent outburst, we have to see A.J. Pierzynski, who was the biggest a-hole as a player, interview Chris Sale and explain to us regular people that MLB is a stressful job. It's so insulting, especially in a time when stressful jobs like frontline healthcare workers or teachers aren't allowed to be violent when something doesn't go their way. I want you guys to stay on Sale.
Not a problem. But if he pitches well, he pitches well. I mean, that's part of the story.
I heard that thing, too, though, on Saturday when they were talking about it. It was...
So I missed it.
But, oh, they sounded just really lame.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on a big league talent, blah, blah, blah. God, would you shut up? Please stop it. He acted like a two-year-old. And if I were if I ran the team, I'd be pissed. What are you doing? We gave you this big contract. You haven't pitched in 2 years. Now you're about to come back and you're tearing down the TV and kicking it? Like, what? You want to get yourself on the injured list for another 2 months?
He's such a fraud. I'm with Alan. I would like to see him get his face kicked in tomorrow night.
I mean, really, that was the worst part of the whole thing. How much? You've already missed a crap ton of time. You want to miss more?
George and Saugus on the Bees. Hi, George.
Hey, Mike. Hey, listen, if Cam Neely managed the way he played, we'd probably have, I don't know, 3 or 4 Stanley Cups. What do you think?
If Cam Neely managed the way that he played, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like he was a badass when he played. What does he do now? He's paying Sweeney a golden parachute for the next few years so he can take care of his boy.
Yeah, I mean, Cam didn't win when he played. It's just what I'm sort of catching myself on. Like, he was some sort of great champ. Wasn't his fault he got hurt a ton. And we mentioned that was an era when Jacobs didn't spend on the team, so it's not like Neely was surrounded by anything. But I'm sorry, I just sort of catch on that part. He didn't win when he played. They didn't win when they played.
Right, but his point is the mentality.
I understand. Why isn't he more aggressive as a team president? So you want him to rifle through general managers? And I think Don Sweeney could have been replaced. But I also don't think Sweeney's been as bad as everybody else. I've said this a million times. My problem is that they scapegoated the coach when the coach clearly was better at his job than Sweeney was at his. That's my major problem. But I don't know why. I mean, I don't know how you want me to answer. Neely should fire Sweeney and, you know, turn the whole thing over. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think if he was firing Cassidy, he should have fired the GM and started all over. But then you'd say fire Neely too. So, okay, let's go to the Jacobs and ask them to fire Cam Neely and to blow the whole thing up. I would have accepted that. That would have been fine. What can I tell you? Here's John in New Hampshire. Go ahead, John.
I know the ineptitude of the Red Sox defense has been a constant subject, but after watching the last four games against the Yankees, I mean, I have two questions. Anybody stick a microphone in Cora's face and ask him, you guys did go over catching a fly ball in spring training and potentially maybe even before the game. And going to the Tropicana Field, it dawned on me this week, what's the over and under that we're actually going to see a Red Sox outfielder catch consecutive balls? It's like watching frickin' Helen Keller out there.
Okay. The Christian Arroyo one on Saturday was funny.
It looked bad, didn't
he? He was screaming at people.
Where is it? It was up there
so long, and he was so lost that he had time to start pointing and screaming at his teammates to yell at them to tell him where the ball is.
Yeah.
It's a fair point, though. Isn't the center fielder supposed to back or up? Like, isn't he supposed to get some help from the center fielder?
Yeah, so you would think the guy, I don't think in a play like that it's going to matter. He missed it by so much.
Oh, my God. It was like 50 yards.
I know. It wasn't even close. Like, yeah, back up a little. No. In that case, what do you tell him? Turn around and run.
It was kind of comical.
Oh, God. It was hysterical. So, but I do love the calls where, yeah, did they work on that in spring training?
Yeah, hit some fungos. No, that was a bad one.
You should have him out there early catching pop-ups.
We've got Eddie in Worcester. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, this is Eddie from Worcester. Did you guys really see game three?
Yeah.
To really think that the Red Sox can compete with the Yankees is kind of a little kind of crazy. Because game three, Donald, if he didn't bobble or fumble the ball and throw it to second and third, that would have been game.
Yeah, but he did. And when these two teams get together, something always seems to happen that brings the other one back, or I don't know, it's just...
Now, the Red Sox certainly get jacked up for it, and specific guys. Like, Verdugo, hates them. I think that's... And it's a good hate. Like, he's up for these series.
Two straight years, they played each other 27 times, including that playoff game. The Sox are 14-13. I don't have the run differential for you over the 2 years, but this year, the run differential is Yankees +4. So, they've played even now for two straight years. I don't know why it would be any different going forward. I don't think it would be any different going forward.
No, so I'm just telling
you. And if in game one, if Franchy Cordero catches a pop-up, maybe the Red Sox win game one. So you can go back and forth with all of these.
Well, and the other thing is that, if I remember right, on that play where
Donaldson?
Yeah, Donaldson didn't turn the two, right? That was Bogarts, I think, who would hit that?
Yeah.
Okay. At that stage, it's not like the game was a blowout.
Nope. Now they had two outs, and they only needed one more out, and they could have won the game there.
Right. So, but the point being is, the way the caller made it sound, they were getting blown out, and the whole game turned on that play. I'm not telling you the play was insignificant, but it's like the game was a tight game. So they were competitive with them, really, in all but one of the games in the series. And of the seven games they played this year, it's 4-3 Yankees, and the run differential is only 4 runs. Over the last 2 years, dead even, as you were saying, this thing is the gap between the Red Sox and the Yankees is not equivalent to what it is in the standings. They're closer than that.
Okay, final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adult is talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Well, the newest member of the Boston Celtics, of course, is Malcolm Brogdon. Has yet to play a game, even don a uniform, but he did appear on the Woj podcast over the last couple of days. And with that, he spoke, and that led to a dog pile today by this show.
I'm a high-level player in the NBA. I feel like I'm very well-respected around the league. And, I feel like it would take a lot for a team like that to get me.
Smart guy. He's a sharp guy. He's a pro. He's an adult. There's a lot of things to like about him. But he does like himself some Malcolm Brogdon. You got the same impression, man?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. They want to spend money. They wouldn't get a guy like me to be a sixth man. A guy like me. They were already the best team in the league. And now that I'm here, we're talking historically good. Because I'm the best guy in the bunch. I mean, I'm better than those guys.
right? So they were the best team in the league, and I'm better than they are. So we're going to be awesome. This guy's whole, again, I told you, I had read the comments. I had not actually heard them. Now hearing them, his tone, oh, my God, it makes you want to stick your thumb down your throat.
Well, it's not that bad. I'm not going that far.
Celtics have a good team, Murray, and they're better now that I'm here.
The gap has been widened. So I have to stop things in the process here. Oh, I have to say, this sounds like an easily mockable voice. I hope he doesn't screw up here.
Brother, I got to hear about the fight.
I'm looking forward to Murray doing Malcolm Brogdon. That one about the defense.
Defensively, I think they were the best defensive team in the NBA. I think the gap only widens now that I'm on the team.
Well, they were already the number one defensive team in the league. Now they have me. Seriously, this guy's ego is massive. He talks like he's LeBron. Really, it's frightening. You know, Murray, this was a good show before I got here, but then when I got here, we really took off.
Well, the gap now. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
The gap only widens now that I'm on the team.
God.
And there you go.
Yeah. I have to say, I think tomorrow we should recycle for the final word some of the Matt Patricia in the Clue game.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah.
Oh, Murray, that was one of your better lines in a while. That was a good one.
All right, here comes the baseball hour. What do you got, Maz?
Yeah, Red Sox, here we go. A couple of good wins over the Yankees. A week to go here in the first half. We're going to. I have a big picture question for Red Sox. This is the beginning of the program. That's where we're going
to
start.
Okay, big picture questions from Maz to you, and that's it. We're back at it tomorrow at 2. Fully loaded program again, or?
Nope, this was my second day in 2 weeks. I'll see you guys next week.
Love it.
Seriously. Great. Popped in, popped out.
Tremendous. All right, so either way, Felger and Maz in some incarnation will be back tomorrow at 2. The baseball hour comes your way right now. No commercials first, just the headlines, and that'll do it. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.